Welcome to Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Venice, Florida. Today is Sunday, April 28th, the fifth Sunday of Easter. Listen to Father Joe Hudson's sermon this morning entitled, Abide in Me, and consider how God abides in you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
May it all be in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Abide in me, and I in you. I don't know if you have recognized it or not, but this abiding of God, the dwelling of God among us as God's people, and our abiding in God, as we come into this place, we notice God's presence here. That sense of the presence of God and the love of God is often known here in this place as we gather for worship. So why is that? Well, it isn't something that comes automatically for any and all Christian communities who gather, no matter where they gather. We just can't hang up a church shingle and poof, God will be felt there. No, I have been the pastor of other Christian churches, and I believe you have been in churches as well, where God's presence was not palpably felt. And I heard those snickers or two there. Well, I'll try and explain the difference this morning. But it isn't only in churches that God's presence desires to be known. God doesn't just desire to abide here at Good Shepherd in this thin place, but God also desires to abide with you and me, and for you to abide with God in your ordinary walkabout life outside of this church. And the realization of that has something to do with why God does indeed abide here. St. Augustine of Hippo spoke to God in his confessions, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Theologian and mystic Evelyn Underhill understood this inner hunger. She wrote about it in a letter to the Archbishop of Canterbury, Cosmo Gordon Lang. It's got kind of a neat ring to it, doesn't it? She wrote this letter in 1930. She said, "I desire very humbly to suggest with bishops assembled at Lambeth that the greatest and most necessary work they could do at the present time for the spiritual renewal of the Anglican Church would be to call the clergy as a whole solemnly and insistently to a greater interiority and cultivation of the personal life of prayer. I am convinced," she says, "that the real failures, difficulties, and weaknesses of the church are spiritual and can only be remedied by spiritual effort and sacrifice, and that her deepest need is for a renewal, first in the clergy and through them in the laity, of the great Christian tradition of the inner life." And then she got to the real heart of the matter. She said this, "With the development of that which is now called the way of renewal, more and more emphasis has been placed on the nurture and improvement of the intellect, less and less on that of the soul. I do not underrate the importance of the intellectual side of religion, but all who do personal religious work know that the real hunger among the laity is for the deep things of the spirit." You see, Evelyn Underhill knew that there is a deep and foundational need in the clergy as well as the laity for these deep things of the Spirit of God. For me, as a baby Christian in my early 20s, I attended a charismatic Protestant church, and I am very thankful for those brothers and sisters in Christ who laid a crucial foundation in my life by teaching me the importance of daily devotions, of engaging in a set of personal daily spiritual practices. In those early years, I read the entire Bible through from beginning to end for 3 consecutive years. I daily prayed for my needs and for the needs of those around me. I attended church more than once a week. I served as a lay deacon in the church and gave financially to the ministry of that church. I began to know God better and understand how the Bible kind of fit together. You could say that I was abiding in God and in God's community and was growing in my faith. Today's second reading and the gospel this morning speak extensively of this abiding. Permit me to share these words again. The word abide is found 8 times in the gospel passage and 6 times in 1 John. Here's the gospel words of Jesus. "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." And now 1 John. "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives," the same Greek word for abide, "God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them." This word abide speaks to the need of every follower of Jesus Christ to dwell intimately, to live and find our home in God. When I was that young Christian many decades ago, I was living in the scriptures. I was gobbling up every word of my Bible. I found my home in a Christian community and gave financially and actively served in that community. When I abided in that way, I was exploring and growing and deepening in my relationship with Christ and in Christ's church. But my journey of faith had not ended. Let me say that again, because that's very important. My journey of faith had not ended. You see, there were still more and deeper ways I was yet to abide and live in God and the church community. And yet this path was not destined to be an easy one. Desiree and I spent 2 years living in Montana in financial and often relational and spiritual deprivation and barrenness. Oh, during that time, I continued to read my Bible and to pray faithfully. I worked hard and passionately for the church, but it was a dark time for us. And in that darkness, I was becoming spiritually dry and parched. And yet, God passionately and lovingly used that time of barrenness and suffering to lead me even deeper and closer to God's self. You see, there were still deeper levels of abiding that God was yet to teach me. Well, we, thank God, moved from there to Missouri. What do they say, from the kitchen into the frying pan? Well, there was a little bit of that too, wasn't there, honey? We moved to Missouri and I began pastoring a new congregation. I continued to work faithfully for the church. All things for me looked good on the surface, but I knew that it was not good for me inside. I knew something needed to change. In all my readings over the years, I came across the writings of the Cistercian monk Thomas Merton. Our church happened to be 3 hours' drive away from the monastery where Merton had lived and worked and prayed, the Abbey of Our Lady of Gethsemane. I scheduled myself for a 3-day personal silent retreat. I brought along my Bible, a book by Henry Nouwen, and my deep hunger and barrenness for something more, something deeper. I arrived late that first afternoon to find a sign above the doors to the monastery that read two simple words, God alone. Two simple words, but words that resonated with my thirsty soul. After dinner, I found my way to the dark balcony above the church. The space felt thick and smelled of ancient things, walls soaked with the chanted scriptures and prayers that had been lifted before God for 150 years. My heart was breaking. I laid myself prostrate in the aisle between the pews. Tears poured out wordless prayers of longing to God. Well, I made my way to bed, and at 3 the next morning, I began to enter into the rhythm of that holy place, walking into the church for vigils, listening in the darkness to the quiet whoosh of robes and the shuffling of feet. 7 times a day I entered in silence, chanting, praying, listening, longing. On the 2nd day at Gethsemane, standing outside in an open space with an old unused well that was dry in the center of it, suddenly I could sense the rushing of water. But the water was not coming from that open space nor in the depths of the well. It was the living water of the Holy Spirit of God flowing into my parched and dry and cracked soul, soaking into every nook and cranny, singing its sweet song in my heart. Joy returned. My life was renewed. Well, over the months and years that followed, I found a new and deeper and more intimately mysterious way to abide and live in my spiritual depths with God and my community. But this journey of mine is not unique. Each person's story, you see, is different. But the testimony of abiding deeply in God and in God's community is known and has been known by myriads of Christ followers down through the ages, each one called and drawn into a life of abiding deeper and deeper and deeper, a life of exploring and growing and deepening and centering our lives in Christ and in God's family. My way of abiding in Christ has changed over the years. It has taken a slower pace. It has gone deeper. It has become more silent and more mysterious. It has become more intimate. I can now say that I do not know God, and yet, at the same time, I am beginning to know God. I am finding God everywhere, while at the same time, God is nowhere. I seek God by not seeking God. I have a deep and abiding certainty that there is always more. More of God to explore and encounter and know and long for. Again, Jesus had said this, "Abide in me as I abide in you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." The hymn, "Abide with Me," is a prayer for God to remain present with the speaker throughout life, through trials, and even through death. The opening line alludes to Jesus' words in Luke's gospel, "Abide with me, for it is towards evening and the day is far spent." So let us spend just a few brief moments abiding in the silent presence of Christ. And as we abide in this moment, I will recite the words of this hymn.